Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Once again, we are happy to be with you today. We are very, very blessed to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF with other fine ministries that minister right here, local ministries right there in Madison, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching pastors and churches. And I just encourage everyone that can, if you're physically able, to get out, get up, get out, go to church on Sunday, worship God, hear His Word, fellowship with His people, and enjoy the benefit and blessing of your Christian faith. Amen. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to go and hear the gospel. Amen. These folks may seem weird to you, amen, at first, but you're going to find out that they're everyday folk that have come to know Christ as their Savior. And most churches are fellowship minded, and I believe that you will receive a very warm welcome. So go and visit. Hear the Word of God. Someone told me one time, Pastor, if I came to church, the roof would fall in. Amen. Well, the roof didn't fall in. Praise God. I told him if I really believed that, we'd believe God for the money to reinforce the roof just so you could come and hear the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, we would just encourage you in these days that we are living, these perilous times when the pressure is being brought to bear to every person on this planet, Christian and non, but particularly upon those of us that have come to know Christ as our Savior and potentially, therefore, have the ability to lead other folks to the Lord. There is great opposition and a violent reaction to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I believe the message we're bringing this week is very, very important, that we begin to live for eternity and not just live for time. That message will help us get through these perilous times that we are in, and those immediate circumstances that are causing pressure and pain in your life today. As a Christian, we cannot remain trapped in time, because we are living for something beyond this thin veil called our lifetime here on earth. This is a very short trip. I can tell you that. I'll be 67 years old if Jesus tarries and God gives me grace in January. And I sometimes I'm kind of shocked that I'm here now. All the people that I looked as the elders and the older people among us, many of them and most of them have graduated and they're now in heaven. And all of my family, my aunts, my uncles, my dad, my mom, all of those folks are with the Lord. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking forward to His coming, and I'm looking forward to going to be with Him. But I'm also looking forward to doing everything I can do that other people might know Him as their Lord and personal Savior. Praise God. So please stay tuned today if you're not a Christian. Be our very special guest, because the same God that is going to take us through and is taking us through every trial, test, and temptation, that God can become your Heavenly Father today. And this Jesus, hallelujah, can become your personal Savior. So do not exclude yourself. Please go with us in this Bible study. And we've already begun to announce what it's all about this week. Living for heaven's glory, declaring eternal values in a world that is preoccupied with time. I want to take our text today from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." I want to read that again. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I like one paraphrase that says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that He shall give us later. The Apostle Paul was one of the most powerfully anointed men in the Bible. He was also one of the most persecuted, tested, and tempted. No matter what he faced in time, he looked past it into eternity. You see, many times as a Christian, in order to get past this day, we need to look and live for that day. Amen. There is a day coming when everything is going to be put right. There's a day coming when we're going to be rewarded for all that we have done in the name of and for Jesus Christ, for God and His glory. A day is coming. There was a preacher of old that preached a message that brought many souls into the kingdom of God, and the name of the message was Payday Someday. There surely is a judgment to come, and there is a recompensing of judgment to the wicked. But I want you to know there's a payday for the saint and a payday for the Christian someday. And Paul was looking past this day to that very day when he was going through these intense trials and these intense persecutions that he faced physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know, Paul was forthright, and Paul was very honest about his testings and his reaction to those testings. In Asia, there was a particular pressurized and painful time when they were persecuted. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, in his letter to the church at Corinth. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we learn not to trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. He said we had to come to an end of ourselves before our faith was so perfected in His faithfulness and His grace that we learned never, ever, ever to trust in our own strength, our own energy, of our flesh, our own ingenuity. We had to trust God exclusively. See, what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. And every time there's a battle between the intentions of the enemy of our soul and the God who has purchased us by the blood of His Son, I want you to know God wins every one of those battles. We must keep our trust in Him to have victory under those kind of circumstances. In this world, Jesus said, and this is a promise in the Scripture to the child of God, in this world you shall suffer persecution. In this world you shall have tribulation. Thelpsis is the Greek word, and it means pressure and anguish. You can't live in a faulty body in a fallen world and not feel the anguish and the pressure and the pain. It's impossible that you can live in a faulty body. I'm going to say it again, in a fallen world. And by the way, I don't know if you looked on your chest today, but there's no big S emblazoned upon it. There is no supermen, no superwomen, but there is a faithful God that identifies with us and brought us into His royal family, and we can call upon Him as our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because He goes before us, and because He stands with us, and because He upholds us, amen, we can go through all of these things and keep the victory and not be discouraged and disheartened and disillusioned and absolutely coming to that point of despair. Paul said we were almost at that point, despairing of life itself, that we might learn. He learned a lesson when I come to the end of my strength and trust Christ, it is the beginning of God's strength in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful truth this is in the Word of God. Amen. Paul had so many problems and persecutions that he said he prayed thrice. There was an emissary sent from Satan to buffet him. In other words, this agent of Satan was designated and directed by the devil himself to cause problems and pressures to be brought to bear upon the Apostle Paul because, listen, friends, Satan fights what he fears, and he knew the power of the gospel, and he knew that Paul was set for the defense of the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel, and he knew God's hand was on that man. And you know, all of us want God to put his hand on us, but we don't want the persecutions that come with the privilege. And friend, we need to not draw back from that. Amen. It's part of it all. If Satan is fighting you, it's because he fears you. And because he fears you, amen, he knows that God is with you, and he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. And I pray today, if you're one of those persecuted children of God, preachers of the gospel, Sunday school teacher, just a Christian with a witness and a testimony, and you're wondering, why am I going through all of this? It's because you have within your bosom, within your lips, within your tongue and mouth, within your spiritual knowledge and understanding, you have the potential ability to lead other people to Jesus Christ, to proclaim this great truth of God's salvation plan. The enemy fights what he fears. And Jesus said, in this world you can count on it, you shall have tribulation. That pressure and that anguish is going to come, but don't despair. Amen. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Isn't it good to know the one that is leading us through all of these things, the one that goes before us and stands beside us, upholds us, hallelujah, with the right hand of his righteousness? He has overcome everything this world and Satan's minions can throw at him. Hell's gates could not prevail against him, and hell's gates cannot prevail against you and against me. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you're one of Satan's prisoners and you haven't accepted Christ and you're bound by sin and habits and chains of darkness that you don't feel you could ever break free from, you can't imagine being free. I want you to know, if you decide today, before this broadcast is over, to come to Christ, repent of your sins, accept him as your Lord and personal Savior, every chain will break. Every prison bar will melt. Every iron gate will have to come unlocked and open up. You can go free to serve God today. But you've got to look past this little space of time that we're in and see where we're headed and where we're going to live forever. Praise God. I'm so glad that God allows for U-turns. Amen. You may be on the highway to hell today, but before this broadcast is over, you can be on the highway to heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot. It's an upward road. It's a steep road. It's a narrow. It's a straight gate and a narrow way that leads to life eternal. Ah, but do not be dissuaded, friend. It is also a joyous journey. Praise God. It is a highway of victory, and there is an anticipation of the world to come that nothing in this fallen world can take away of what we know is awaiting us just on the other side. Glory be to God. Amen. The Apostle Paul, so powerfully anointed, had such pointed persecutions that came into his life. So living for heaven's glory like he was means that we can bear up under the load of earthly trials and tests. Listen to what Paul was experiencing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. You know why 39 was the limit? Because after 39 of those lashes, many people went into shock and they died. And this was not supposed to kill anyone, but they were supposed to beat them within literally an inch of their life. And Paul said, on 5 separate occasions, I was beaten and given 39 stripes for the sake of the gospel, for preaching the gospel. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, those things that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And in verse 29, he says something astounding. In light of all of this, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Paul said, in essence, I've been weakened by these things, but I don't feel weak. I've been offended, but I don't burn with anger. See, there was an emissary from Satan, Paul said, sent to buffet him. He stirred up people to hate him and to come against him and to hurt him. And he said, I besought the Lord 3 times that he take away this from me. And of course, the answer didn't come. And while he mused upon these things, the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, it changes everything now. He said, for when I am weak, then am I made strong. He understood when we come to an end of ourself and we put our trust in the Lord, he grants that we could never, ever, ever be able to manifest in our own flesh the energy, the ingenuity, the fortitude of our own resolve. None of these things, when they are valueless, when we are literally bankrupt in ourself, we become rich in Jesus Christ. Someone has said it and said it so well. Someone that surely has been through something in their life to bring them to this understanding and appreciation of God's grace and God's love and God's faithfulness. He said, you will never discover that Jesus Christ can be your everything until you don't have anything. So if there's someone out there today and you say, I have nothing left to live for, I have nothing. Friend of mine, if you will trust the Lord right now at this crucial time in your life, you will find that Jesus can and will be your everything. And that's one of the greatest discoveries that a Christian can ever make. And it's a greatest discovery if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. That if you give up the sin in your life, the crutch that you're leaning on. Oh, by the way, I have it said all the time that religion is nothing but a crutch. In other words, it's for weak people. Well, if it is, give me 2 of them. I want 2 crutches. I need the Lord. I need help. I don't need to shoot up and toke up to cope with life. I don't need to be inebriated or to be in a drug haze. I need what God said He would grant me if I come to know Christ as my Savior. I'm telling you, this is a straight gate. It is a narrow road that we are upon, but it is the King's highway. And there is joy for this journey in knowing that I am not alone down here on my own. And nothing, listen, we used to sing the song, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." We used to sing that great hymn, "Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." Ah, friend of mine, when you live for eternity, you live for heaven's glory. Heaven becomes your goal. Jesus becomes your everything. Then you are not threatened by losing all of this that is going to pass away anyway. Someone said one time, "He is no fool that gives up that he cannot keep in order to hold that he cannot lose." Amen. If we lay down our life for the gospel, we can't lose. We're not losing anything. So if you think giving up sin and those things that you feel you cannot do without in your life, that if you come to Christ, it'll leave a vacuum within you, a big empty space where you're unfulfilled, what a lie that the devil is peddling to so many people. Friend of mine, when we come to Christ, He comes in to fill and to fulfill the deepest longing of the human soul. And we just don't have to look through sin for those things to fulfill us, because Jesus does become our everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul talks about here when he talks about how he got through all of these things and how he categorized all these pressures and persecutions in light of the coming glory, the coming day when we move from time into eternity, from the earth plane into the heavenly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18, he said, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Oh, listen to this verse. This will take you back. And in light of all that he was suffering, he said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." A friend of mine, I don't know about you, but to call what he just described to us previously as a light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, when I'm in pain, it's like the clock stops. Time drags on. If you've ever been up all night walking the floor with a toothache, and in the morning you can maybe get in on an emergency basis for a dentist to do something about it, but you got to get through that night, friend. That seems like an eternity. He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." He's looking past time now into eternity. He said, "It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." This whole world, everyone and everything in it, is transient. It's temporal. Temporal. It's in a state of flux and change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. See, friend, to get past it, we must look past it. I like this in the Amplified. It said, "Therefore we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Since we consider and look not to the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, for the things which are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Praise God. Paul looked past the temporal into the eternal. He wasn't living only in time. He was living for the eternal inheritance that passes not away. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know today that God loves you. He did not promise you a rose garden down in this fallen world, but He promised to never leave you. He promised to never forsake you. He promised to go with you all the way, literally, to go before you and be beside you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will. The Greek word is orphanus. I won't leave you like an orphan child without parental love, protection, and care. But I will send you another comforter, and He will be with you, and He will be within you, and He will abide with you forever. Oh, what consolation that is, what courage it brings. Be of good cheer, Christ told us. I've overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Praise God. So, friend of mine, today, as a Christian, we go through things because we live in faulty bodies and in a fallen world. But we have a faithful Father. Hallelujah. And because we do, we can take courage today. He will grant sufficient grace. And when we are weakened by it all, and we will be weakened by it all, He promises a sufficient grace, His very strength, His very love and presence in our life to pull us through and give us victory and lead us on. Glory be to God. See, if you don't know Jesus today, you can't claim God as your heavenly Father. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can't have this comfort and consolation. In fact, the Bible said you are without God and without hope in this present world. But if you come to know Christ as your Savior, you not only get eternal life when you draw your last breath, but God now becomes your heavenly Father, Jesus, your Savior, the Holy Spirit, your Comforter. And whatever trials and tests and pain and pressure and brokenness you're experiencing, He pours in the oil of His Spirit and the wine of His love. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you right now, right where you are, would you open your heart, your life to Him, confess your sins? He knows all about it. But He commands that we confess our sins, repent of them, and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Ah, friend, come into this growing family of God that He is leading so powerfully and yet so gently through this fallen world. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Christian, do not be discouraged. Do not look back. Remember Lot's wife. Do not look back. Look up. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh, and until He comes to take us home, He promised to lead us through this fallen world. Well, we love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.